With the defeat of the Taliban in Afghanistan, the search for Osama bin Laden and his followers has widened to include Southeast Asia. Some governments in the region say they have evidence that Al-Qaeda cells have been operating on their territory. Malaysia says it has confirmed that two of the suicide hijackers visited in the year 2000. NPR's Rob Gifford reports from Kuala Lumpur.
News that two of the 9/11 hijackers met in Malaysia 2 years ago with members of a militant Malay Muslim group has come as a shock to most Malaysians, who pride themselves on their moderate brand of Islam. Since last September, there have been more shocks, with a total of more than 40 Malaysians now arrested, mainly members of an extreme Muslim group called Kumpulan Militan Malaysia, or KMM, which the government alleges has close links to Al-Qaeda. Amid fears that Southeast Asia is becoming a new hub for Al-Qaeda operatives, analysts such as Chandra Muzaffar accuse the government of giving too little information, not even naming all the suspects arrested.
KMM operatives who had been arrested almost entirely from within the country, they're all Malay Muslims. Some of them, according to police statements, had received training in Afghanistan. But who these individuals are and what their modus operandi was and how they are linked to other groups in Southeast Asia and elsewhere, these things remain very unclear.
That lack of clarity is because they're being held under the country's strict Internal Security Act, which allows the government to hold any Malaysian for up to 2 years without trial. 13 men, mainly ethnic Malay Muslims, are being held in neighbouring Singapore under a similar law. Singapore officials say 8 of the men they've detained had been to Al-Qaeda training camps in Afghanistan in the 1990s. There's evidence of cross-border extremist cooperation throughout the region. Just last week, an Indonesian man arrested in the Philippines led police to a huge cache of bomb-making equipment, said to be destined for Singapore. The Singapore government accuses the men it's holding of planning to blow up the U.S. embassy there and attack U.S. military personnel. But one seasoned Western diplomat in Kuala Lumpur says privately that in view of the lack of hard information, Malaysia and Singapore could easily be making up many of the accusations in order to arrest people they don't like, knowing they'll never have to produce evidence in court. Human rights groups echo those concerns, as do opposition politicians. Saeed Azman is a member of parliament for the main Muslim opposition party in Malaysia, known by its acronym PAS. Azman contends that Malaysian Prime Minister Mahathir Mohamad, whose popularity had sunk to an all-time low last summer, has exploited 9/11 to tar his democratic Islamic opponents with a Taliban brush.
Well, before September 11, let me talk about before September 11 first. Dr. Mahathir and his regime has been trying very hard to portray the Islamic Party of Malaysia as extreme as possible, as fanatics as possible, as intolerant as possible. The event of September 11 has basically put a plus point for him to corner us and portraying us in a very extreme manner, to portray us as Taliban as possible and to portray us as a very dangerous and fanatical political party that should be wiped out.
Despite the protests of human rights groups and opposition politicians like Azman, Mahathir's tough line on extremists has caused his popularity to soar since September 11th. As one Western diplomat put it, in the war on terror, Mahathir's strong-arm tactics have made the Malaysian government part of the solution, not part of the problem. Rob Gifford, NPR News, Kuala Lumpur, Malaysia.